Welcome to North Coast Church on this day that we call Good Friday. We're here in this beautiful, picturesque place of a vineyard for a very special reason. Before we get to that, I'd encourage you, if you'd like to be able to gather items, we're going to be taking communion together. So if you have some juice or wine or bread with you, that way you're prepared for a little bit later on. We're here in this setting because ultimately for the Jewish people in Israel, there were two very special traditional crops. That of being olives and grapes. The olives were produced into olive oil, and olive oil, ultimately being a symbol of purity, was used for the anointing of kings. It was used for medicinal use, for beauty. It was also used for the oil for lamps, to give light, to give heat, which is talked about so many times in Scripture. And of course, the vineyard producing grapes and ultimately producing wine. Jesus refers to the vineyards many times in Scripture. In John 15, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." This element of wine is this symbol of the covenant between God and us, or between two parties. We see the importance of it in John chapter 2 when Jesus performs his first miracle of turning water into wine. Yes, it was a feast, it was a celebration of these two people coming together, but ultimately for Jewish tradition, the passing of the cup of wine from the bride to the groom was the first act of marriage. When he presented this cup to his bride and she received it, it was their first act of marriage. It was the first act of their covenant. And of course, we see wine being used in the Passover. And it's a symbol reminding the people of the blood that was shed from lambs during the time of the Exodus of Egypt, the 10th plague, where they needed to ultimately slaughter a lamb and put that blood on the posts of that home so that the angel of death would pass over them, saving them. And so each Passover, they would take that wine and they would be remembering of the Passover and of the covenant that God had made with them and the people of Israel. The thing is, with both of these fruits, to be able to get what's great out of it, it's a crushing of it. See, olives, is they're put onto this large stone table, and a milling stone is put around on top of them, crushing them and creating an olive paste. And that olive paste is then put into these linen baskets and one stacked on top of the other. And there a large stone is placed on top and that paste is crushed, forcing the liquid out of this paste, flowing down the sides and producing this beautiful olive oil. And of course the grapes are crushed either by rocks or stones, fermented and giving us wine. Jesus ultimately will be that. He will be crushed himself so that we can end up having eternal life. It's the culmination of his entire life, of all of these symbols today, Good Friday. See, on the day before, Jesus took his disciples to this upper room. He washed their feet. He sat them down and he gave thanks to the Lord for what they were about to eat. And then he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took the cup in the same way and he said, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant." And in this moment, this was earth-shattering for these disciples. They had never heard this before from him. And Jesus, referring to Jeremiah chapter 31, when God is giving Jeremiah this word, that there will be a new covenant, not like the old one, but this one will be the forgiveness of sins and washing away of iniquities. Ezekiel says that we will be cleansed. Isaiah says that we will be washed as white as snow. All because of this new covenant, the blood that will be shed. Jesus then takes the disciples to this garden called Gethsemane. It's really an olive grove just set outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And Gethsemane actually means olive press. They would put an olive press right there in the middle of the olive grove. And there he prayed. I've stood in a similar spot there in Israel, and you can end up looking out over Jerusalem, and I can only imagine him looking over the city filled with his people, his children, and praying this passionate prayer, pleading with God, is there any other way that this could be done? I'm sure he knew of the pain that he would end up being inflicted upon him. But I also think it's a matter of taking on the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. It wasn't just the pain, it was our shame, it was our sin. We can only imagine the sin that you have, the sin that I have, and he took that shame. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says that he who had no sin became sin for us that we could become the righteousness of God. Isaiah 53, it describes this in detail, and it says that he took upon our pain, he bore our sufferings, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. It goes on to say, because each of us have gone our own way, and the Lord put upon him, laid upon him, the iniquities of us all. In verse 10, it says, it was the Lord's will that he be crushed and that he suffer. Ultimately, that you and I could have eternal life. This was the purpose. This was the purpose of what we call Good Friday today, because it ultimately gives us this path to eternal life with him. It was always God's will that us would be with him. He had a relationship with us in the garden from day one, and he wants that relationship to be restored, and he did it through his son. And there in the garden, I can only imagine seeing a line of torches coming up the hillside as the Roman soldiers come up to arrest Jesus. And they bring him through the wall there in Jerusalem, which is known as the Sheep's Gate, which I don't think is a coincidence. He's brought through the Sanhedrin. He's accused and tried and found guilty of claiming to be the Son of God, in which he was. And there, that next day, today, Good Friday, he was tortured. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was stripped of his clothes, and he was forced to bring his own cross up what is now known as the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Suffering, as people spat upon him and mocked and jeered him on his way up to what is called Golgotha, the place where corporal punishment would take place. It was there for the worst of criminals. And there they laid Jesus down on a cross, and they pierced his hands and his feet with large nails, driving them through into that wood beam. They forced a crown of thorns onto his head, causing blood to come down his face, mocking him as being a king. And then nailing a sign on the top of that cross saying, "Here is the King of the Jews." He was hoisted up on demonstration for all to see. And there he suffered, taking in his last breaths before ultimately dying. And to make sure that he was dead, they put a spear through his side, and it says that blood and water flowed, that blood being that of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb. In John 1, it says that John said, "There he is, behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God being the ultimate sacrifice that would ultimately be the redemption for you and I. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to God's great riches and his mercy. It's only through his blood that we have forgiveness. It's not by your works, it's not by your trying, it's not by your doing, it's not by your devotions. It's the work of Christ. There's nothing that you can do to earn your way to God. It was only because of the Son of God. And that's why we say he is the only way to the Father, is through the Son. And so today we remember. We remember this day because on this day, God gave his Son so that you and I could have eternal life. He gave his life so that you and I could find ours. In a moment, we're going to take communion together. Andrew's going to lead us in a couple of worship songs right now. And I'd encourage you during these songs that you just take time and reflect. Maybe you sing with him. If you know the words or you are inclined to do so, or maybe you just let the words wash over you and remember what it is that Christ has done for you. We remember all our wrongdoings, not to remember our shame or put ourselves in a place of guilt, but to remember that all of that Jesus paid for. All of that we were redeemed from. And we're going to take communion together, but let me just pray for us right now, and then we'll go into this time of worship. Jesus, we thank you. On this day, we remember each year your sacrifice, that you were brutally murdered on that cross, that you were crushed for our iniquities, for our sin. And God, we say thank you. We didn't deserve it. It was a gift that you gave to each and every one of us. God, I have willingly sinned in my life, as many other have, knowing what it is that you've done for us. And God, you did it anyway. You did it for those individuals that were spitting on you and mocking you. You're doing that for the individuals today that still make fun of you and call you names and curse you. You do it for us, those that know you and still mess up. God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for giving us your Son, that we could have eternal life. And today we remember and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to worship.
Precious blood has left me forgiven. Pure like the whitest of snow. Powerful to make sin and shame retreat. His covenant is making me whole. So I will rise and lift my head. For by his mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Because of Jesus, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, here walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief. Man of sorrows and son of suffering. Blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing, all praise King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking. Your love is still reaching. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. The flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Andrew, for leading us in that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me white as snow. It's His precious blood that gives us freedom. It's His precious blood that gives us life. And in this moment, in the midst of remembrance, we want to take a moment and have communion together. You can have communion right where you're at. Ultimately, it's us remembering Jesus' sacrifice. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus gathered His disciples, and they sat down at a very familiar scene of them sharing a meal together. And Jesus sat down, and he took a piece of bread, and He broke it. He gave thanks, and He said, "This is My body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of Me." So if you have a piece of bread with you, let's go ahead and take together. And then He took the cup. And He said, "This is My blood, poured out for you of the new covenant. Whenever you eat of this bread and whenever you take of this cup, do this in remembrance of Me." So Jesus, before we take this final element, we say thank You again. And we remember Your precious sacrifice that You gave to us. God, let us not squander it. God, let us not abuse it, but God, we take the freedom that You've given us so that we can use it for Your glory, that we can let our light shine, or that we can be Your hands and Your feet. So God, we take this cup, Lord, we ask for Your healing, for Your blessing, for Your victory in our lives. God, that we would live our lives in such a way to give You glory and honor. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. Sing with us in this last element of worship before we close this time out.
Oh, my words fall short. I've got nothing more. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs. So we pour out our praise, pour out. in our lungs. So we pour out praise to you only.
It's your breath that gives us life. It's your blood that gives us redemption from our sins. Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for joining us during this time as we remember the sacrifice of Christ. And I pray that today, as we think about this and we remember and reflect, it empowers us to live a life worthy of the calling that He has placed on our lives. We have an incredible Easter lineup at all of our campuses and online. We encourage you, if you don't have a home church to participate in Easter with, we encourage you, join us at one of our campuses in the San Diego area, or you can join us online. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to having you back this Easter weekend.